The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him, and we make our home with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, and my word is not my own. It is the word of the one who sent me. I have said these things to you while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. Peace I bequeath to you, my own peace I give you, a peace the world cannot give. This is my gift to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You have heard me say, I'm going away and shall return. If you loved me, you would have been glad to know that I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the Gospel this morning, the Lord talks about making his home with us. He says, "If anyone loves me, we," that is the Father and the Son, "shall come to him and make our home with him." The indwelling of God's Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is a fundamental part of our belief as Catholics. But the problem is that when we try to explain it, especially when learned theologians write books and articles, they end up kind of using very obscure terminology. They talk about things like the potentia obedialis and all of this sort of thing. And then they get into very obscure debates about the difference between created grace and uncreated grace and how the two fit together and all of this sort of thing. Now, at one level, that's important because it's good to be precise about these things. But at another level, for most of us, that just starts to sound very, very distant from our lives. So rather than give you a lecture on grace, what I thought I'd try to do is I'd try to paint a word picture of what this reality of God dwelling within us might look like. So it's my word picture, and it is very imperfect, but I hope it might be of some help to you. So in the Gospel, having spoken of this indwelling, the Lord then goes on to say, "My own peace I give to you, a peace the world cannot give." And then he adds, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." So it seems then that peace is, if you like, the symptom of God dwelling within us. And I think this peace that the world cannot give is the felt experience of God dwelling within us. So let me try and give you an example. Most Sundays after Mass, I try to thank the choir and the organist for playing. So Gwyneth is up there playing the organ this morning. But the thing is, when I say to Gwyneth, thank you very much for playing the organ, that was really lovely, both Gwyneth and I are fully aware that I have all the musical ability of a rock. And so when I say I really liked the communion hymn, all of the choir, and Gwyneth especially, deep down, they kind of know, well, that's kind, Father Kevin, but they know that my opinion doesn't really count for very much. But just imagine if Mozart himself were to come to Mass one Sunday, because he was a Catholic, actually. Good to remember that. Everything that Mozart wrote is ours, our patrimony, because he was a Catholic. That's good to remember. And if he were to say to the choir and to Gwyneth, wow, I really liked what you did with the entrance hymn, well, that would actually mean something. And the point that I'm trying to make is that deep down, we want to be appreciated by someone whose appreciation means something. And I'd push that further, and I'd say that the fundamental thing that we human beings want is to be loved by someone whose love for us really matters. So if you think about it, how often are our sins really about wanting to be loved? We are ambitious and we tread on those around us because we want somebody to recognize that we are valuable. How often are our sins of appetite really about filling a gap? The gap left by that uncertainty of whether we are really lovable. So I might not be lovable, but I can scoff a chocolate bar and get a sugar rush, or whatever other rush it is that I'm chasing, sex, alcohol, drugs, power, whatever. And that rush for just a moment, just for now, it will distract me from that gap of uncertainty in my heart. But the problem is with these rushes is that they never last. And so then we just have to start chasing the next rush. How often when we behave in a way that is beastly to those around us, is it really because we feel that they have encroached upon our ego? In some way or other, they have trodden on our toes. And so then what we have to do to protect ourselves and to prop up the fragile edifice of our self-worth is to push back against them, and sometimes to push back violently, both physically or emotionally. But if you look at our Lord's life, it's different. Everything he is and does flows from the awareness that he is God's Son. He is able to live in obscurity, to welcome outcasts and associate himself with those whose society doesn't think valuable, to welcome sinners. He's able to endure being betrayed without lashing out back at his betrayers. And he's able to enter into his passion and surrender his life. Because in all of that, he knows the presence of the Father's love for him. Deep within himself, he is existentially aware of the Father's love. And I think that is the peace that the Lord is talking about. I think that is what it means for God to dwell in us. It means recognizing that God delights in us, and that that delight which God takes in us is enough. We don't need to seek distractions. We don't need to assert ourselves against others, because that's not where our self-worth is to be found. Any value we experience in ourselves exists because the one who called the universe into being from nothing, and whose Son laid down his life for us, he, the Father, and we only use the word Father because we don't have a better word, he looks at us and delights in us. That mystery, who is truth itself, looks at us and speaks truth, saying that we are valuable and we are precious. I think that is what it feels like for God to dwell within us. And I think that in the end is the source of this peace that the world cannot give, the only peace that can still our troubled hearts. And so there it is. And it's true, and it is a fact of our faith. The problem is that we so often struggle to recognize this truth, and so we seldom act out of this truth. So just as a suggestion, today, as you pray this Mass, at the offertory, as the gifts are brought up, think of everything that holds you back from recognizing the truth that God delights and dwells in you, that God delights in you so much that he wishes to make his home in you. Whatever that might be, a faith that is weak, a sense of your own unworthiness, anxieties that distract you, intellectual paradoxes that you can't quite resolve, all of that. And it's not going to go away or instantly evaporate, but just for now, just at this Mass, take all of that and spiritually, in your hearts and in your imagination, put it all into the offertory and hand it over to God, and ask for, in return, Christ's peace. Because he has already promised us, my own peace I give you, a peace the world cannot give. Do not let your hearts be troubled.